You're listening to The Takeaway with John Hockenberry and Adora Udoji from Public Radio International and WNYC in collaboration with the BBC World Service, New York Times Radio, and WGBH Radio Boston.
Good morning. Economic indicators. In about an hour and a half, we'll know what the U.S. unemployment rate was for the month of April. But we also got some other economic indicators. Ellen Mazzaglia from our website says, I tend to watch the eBay indicator when times are tough. Items like jewelry are more plentiful and auction for lower prices. Grandpa's pocket watch and Great Aunt Tilly's cameo are among the first things people seem to put up for bid. What are your economic indicators that you watch when times are tough? 877-8-MY-TAKE. Here's an economic indicator, Adora. Pain tracks by economic class.
This is a fascinating
study.
This
is really interesting. There's a pain gap in the United States. David Walrice is with us also from Morehouse College. Both of you, this is fascinating. A new study out of Princeton University says, depending on where you are in the economic scale, you have a different experience of pain. Economics professor Alan Krueger from Princeton, who co-authored the study, joins us now. Professor, this is a really interesting result.
I have to say I was rather shocked myself when these results came up on the computer.
So explain what the gap is and how it manifests itself. Are we talking about the likelihood of doctors to prescribe prescription drugs, or are we talking about actual pain thresholds of people depending on income?
Well, we're not talking about either of those things. What we're talking about is how often people feel pain, even if they're taking pain medication. So what we did was we surveyed 4,000 people, and we asked them everything they did in the previous day and how they felt while they were doing it. And what we found was that people who make lower incomes tend to feel pain much more often in their daily lives and more severe pain.
Under $30,000 a year income, those people spend 20% more of their time in moderate to severe pain, or 20% of their time in moderate to severe pain, compared with 8% for those in households with income above $100,000 a year.
And that truly is an enormous difference.
It's an enormous gap, and we've known for a long time that lower-income people have lower life expectancy, are less satisfied with their health, and this paints, I think, a broader picture about the way they live their daily lives.
Why?
Well, some of this, I believe, is due to differences in occupation and more physical demands of blue-collar work. We see, and we can do this with the kinds of data we collected, we could look at the amount of pain people feel while they're working compared to while they're not working. Blue-collar workers tend to have more pain while they're working. That carries over after work to some extent. For white-collar workers, they have about the same amount of pain during work and non-work episodes. Then, secondly, I think the arrow points in the other direction as well. People who feel a lot of pain in their lives find it difficult to work, and we find lower employment rates for people who spend much of their time in pain.
How do you deal with the, I guess, obvious idea that, yeah, it's a pain to be poor, and so, of course, I'm going to feel more pain? There's a quality to this that is obvious. How did you account for that and try to focus on actual medical feelings of pain?
Well, we also asked about other emotions. We also asked about feeling happy, about feeling interested in what people were doing.
So even happy, poor people felt more pain.
And what we found was that people in lower-income households reported a higher frequency of pain and more severe pain. That's right.
Regardless of their emotional state.
That's correct.
Wow.
Although I would say that the pain contributes to their emotional state,
sure,
too. So people who are not very satisfied with their lives or not very happy in their lives do tend to have more pain. But what really stood out in our data was the pain income gradient.
Now, it's interesting because you didn't distinguish between emotional pain and physical pain. Why not? And isn't there a difference between those two?
Well, it's an excellent question. And my co-author in this study is a psychologist, Arthur Stone. And what I learned from Arthur is that people feel pain in the head, all pain. A headache, is that emotional pain? Is it mental pain? Is it physical pain? Also, what the research has shown is that when people report their subjective feeling of pain, it does seem to correspond with the physiology, with either the stimulus that made them feel the pain or with the way that their brain has responded to the pain.
Well, that's a very interesting economic indicator. Alan Krueger, professor of economics at Princeton University, co-author of a study on the pain gap in the United States. Thanks for joining us.
Many thanks.
Wow.